Welcome to Zion Word Ministries International Podcast. We are excited to have you for today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis. If this is your first time here, please stay tuned until after the following message for more information regarding our ministry.
The fifth verse, and hope makes not ashamed because the love of God, everybody say the love of God, is shed abroad, not going to be, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. Father, we thank you for the love of God that's been put in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and may it be energized and strengthened today in Jesus' name. Amen. Every believer, believe it or not, has the love of God inside of their heart. I know a lot of times we don't act like it and we don't express it, but it's there. And God is love, so actually the Spirit is saying that God himself dwells in the believer by the Holy Ghost, and it's given to us. So keep that in mind. The love of God is already in us. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now let's go to Galatians 5:6 now for the second text. All right. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Faith works by love. Have we got it in our mind now? We have the love of God in our hearts, but faith is the only thing that pleases God. And so therefore, we need to understand that faith will work by love. And secondly, faith always works. It never suffers a defeat. Faith always overcomes every obstacle, but you must work it. You and I must work the faith that God has given us. God will not do it, we do it. But the way we do it is the love of God and things of this sort, you see. Every time we see when Jesus was ministering to people, he was moved with compassion or love. And that was the key to faith in operation. Amen. You know, we need to love people. Can I have an amen from somebody in here? Where's Sister Sal at? We need to love people, even when they're not lovable, because there are times that we're not lovable. But God still loves us anyway, so we're not greater than him. So we understand, I think this morning, all of us here do, I think, that we have God's love in us. We want to have an overcoming Christian life in this realm that we live in. And faith is the only way. There's no other way to actually operate in the kingdom of God other than the faith of God that is released by love. That's what I'm saying. Of course, our words have something to do with it also. Now, when I look at the modern-day church, so many ministries, mega ministries, large and small, take a portion of the gospel and major on that because that's what you want to hear. For example, healing. Many ministers have built mega ministries by only teaching and preaching on divine healing. Secondly, prosperity. They major on the prosperity message. Our faith. Here's a good one, prophecy. Oh, yes, that's all we ever teach is prophecy. But you've got to understand all these subjects are part of the gospel, but not the gospel. They are a subordinate subject or topic to the gospel. And I feel that it's wrong for any ministry to major on any other subject other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's where I come from. Of course, we've got to understand the doctrine of the Holy Ghost is part of this gospel message. The second coming is part of the message. But let's get the main thing the main thing. Or we're off. Nobody majors on repentance, builds a ministry on repentance. Nobody talks about sin. Nobody ministers about hell. Well, I remind us all, Jesus taught more on hell than any other subject in the Bible, because he created it. And it seems to me we needed the fear of God in our lives again. However, everybody say however, faith is a very important subject in the gospel message. Would you agree with that? But we are not to major on the subject of faith alone and nothing else. A pastor must know all the subjects, but still major on the gospel. Okay. But many choose the subject of faith as their main ministry topic. But to repeat, it's only a phase of the gospel. However, it is a very important subject for the believer's believing system, if I could say that. We need to understand about faith, how it operates, why we need it, where it comes from, or we just can't overcome in this world. Now, Jesus has made the way. So our Christian belief system must be in order. Even some of you, your priorities are off, big time, which lets me know you're not walking in faith, but you're walking in self. That will change one way or the other. God will see to it. There's the easy way and there's the hard way. After we deliver the message, after the Lord spanks me sometimes, then it's on you. It's between you and God. I don't have anything to do with it. I'm not the mediator. I'm just the mailman. Well, I can get my own mail. Apparently you can't. Or you'd have your priorities in order. All right. Now, in the realm of ministry, say ministry. I'm mainly talking now about the fivefold and other ministries, not just normal Christian living now. Okay. In the realm of ministry, we are to hear what the Spirit says and simply obey what the Spirit said. The only way we can do that is faith. No other way. Amen. In John 21 and verse 3 now. John 21 and verse 3. Let's look at a few examples here. Simon Peter said to them, I go a-fishing. They said to him, we also go with you. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and they that night they caught nothing. Now, Tony is the only one that could go to Grand Lake and catch a fish every single time. But you're cheating. You're not using a hook and worm like me. No. But I have been fishing. I've been hunting and come home with nothing but a sunburn. These guys, I don't get on to them. They, you know, didn't know what else to do. The Lord was gone. They didn't know for sure if he was going to be resurrected. So, well, they go back to their old ways of living. What else were they supposed to do? So I don't get too hard on them, but this is what happened. But when the morning was now come, in verse 4, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any meat? And they answered, no. So he says, have you caught anything all night? No. So he said to them, verse 6, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. Now, wait a minute, Barry Link. I've been fishing in boats in Grand Lake, and I've tried throwing my hook on every side of the boat, front and back, and still catch nothing. But the Lord tells them, hey, throw your net on the other side of the boat. Now, wait a minute. Fish swim around. See, everything that God does is illogical to our puny carnal mind. Don't we know that God can control fish? He controlled a whale that's consumed Jonah. He controls everything, really. Even if there were no fish there, he'd just create them. He'd create them. However it was, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fish. That's a miracle. But it wasn't logical to me. Was it logical to you to throw the net on the other side of the boat? I'm saying that God tells us to do things that doesn't seem logical. Every time. But His ways are not our ways. Now, why did they catch some fish? First off, they obeyed what the Lord said to do. Amen. Even though it was against common sense, illogical, they just obeyed what the Lord said to do. What do you got? What do we got to lose? So they throw the net over there, and then they catch the fish. Why did they catch the fish? Because they obeyed what the Lord said to do. This is so simple. Now, if they would have refrained from throwing their net, they wouldn't have caught anything. We want God to do everything? No. We have a part to play in the miracle. We have a part to play. But faith always works every single time. The word came, they obeyed, and had results. Miraculous results. It's the same for us today, everybody. Don't forget that. God will make a way where there is no way. Now, another example, everybody knows this account, the water turned into wine. All right. They had about 120 gallons of water poured in these basins or bowls, whatever you want to call them. But it was still water. And yet, Jesus said, pour out. Turn me down, I'm back feeding. Pour out. Now, in my thinking, it's water. Here we are, dumpty-dum, we're going to pour out water, and people are going to think we're crazy. But it took faith to obey the Lord and pour out the water. When they poured the water out, it became wine. It wasn't wine in the veil until the disciples, by faith, poured it out. That's what I'm trying to say. Not logical. But yet, do you think taking some spittle and making two eyeballs out of clay and putting in this guy's head is logical? Go back in the Old Testament. The leper. Was it Naaman the leper? No, it's one of those guys that were lepers, and they go to the man of God, and he says, oh, go dip in Jordan. Naaman? Thank you. Well, that's not logical, because Jordan was low. He would have to get on his knees and humble himself. Come on. We got a leader having to humble himself. So his servant said, well, what do you got to lose? Not logical to go dip in some muddy water, but yet when he came up, he was healed. What about the 10 lepers? Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, wait a minute. That wasn't lawful. As they went, they were healed. You see what I'm saying? Everything hinges on faith. God does nothing unless someone acts in faith. This is part of the gospel. I'll admit that. You get saved by faith. We get delivered by faith. We are blessed by faith. We're going to get into heaven by faith. We overcome now by faith. Everything is done by faith. So it's very important. Jesus died on the cross in faith. Amen. All of it is hinged on that subject, but it's still subordinate to the cross of Christ and the gospel. Amen. The water wine poured out. In Luke 12, 28. Okay. I'll admit, everybody, sometimes faith is just not easy. And I think the struggling is wrong. Hey, is God God or not? Is He all sufficient or not? Is he all-knowing or not? Is he all-powerful or not? We got to settle it. God is either God or we're all nuts. Let Bible can't be disproved. Every time they try, they wind up getting saved because it is the Word of God. The one who wrote the Bible, though, was the Holy Spirit. He did it through men that were operating in faith. See what I'm saying? Everything is done by faith, but God takes the initiative, and we just simply follow through. We make it too difficult, I think, many, many times. Now, in Luke 12, 28 this morning, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Little faith. I think sometimes that's where we are. Little faith. So God has to allow things to come along to sort of help us exercise faith and build our faith muscles, so to speak. Yeah. Every one of you, you have faith. Everybody confess this. I have faith. Not going to have it. I have it now. I have faith now. Come on, say it with me. I have faith now. Sure we do. You wouldn't even be here in church if you didn't. But then we've got to learn how to work faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans 12:3. Very familiar portion of Scripture here today. For I say through the grace given to me, for every man that is among you, to not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The last part, that's what I want to look at. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That means women too. However, no one has faith until they hear the gospel. Hear what I said? No one has faith till they hear the gospel. They may have a lower degree of faith in themselves, but that's not saving faith. No one has saving faith until they hear the gospel. And even then, it's conditional. You must act upon that faith. That makes it real faith. See, faith can be dormant here until you choose to act on it. Every one of you that's born again, you had to act upon the faith that came to you when you heard the gospel. You give your life to Christ and faith. Amen. That's the way people are saved. So in parallel truth, no one's in grace until they're born of the Spirit of God by faith. Not everyone on this planet is in grace. No. Only those that are born from above are in grace. The only way to get in grace is faith. The only way to have faith is to hear the good news of the gospel, accept the God's plan of salvation, and move into covenant with Him because of grace that's offered to you and me. Very simple. Very simple. How many can explain that to somebody? You should be able to. So let's work on it. What do you say? So then in Romans 12:3, every man has been given the measure of faith. Now, continuing in this thought, in Romans 10:17, so Paul says, So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. We can all quote this. How does faith come? It comes by hearing the Word of God. And after you're saved, faith continues to come the very same way, with the very same message. There's only one message that really matters. All the other subtopics are that, subtopics. The main message is the gospel. We should never get tired of hearing the good news. We should never become bored with hearing about Christ going to the cross and resurrecting. We should never, there's something wrong with us if we're bored with that subject, because that is the gospel. That message energizes our faith and catapults us forward to do the work of God. all the other subjects enhance that message. Amen. So then faith comes by hearing. It continues to come by hearing. That's the reason, as a preacher, when people are not coming to church on a regular basis, I understand their faith is getting weak. Do you understand that? Because when you're joined to a local church and you've committed to be a member of that church, then messages are designed for you. I never know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to say when I go to Africa. I give up trying to figure it out. I just get there and God gives it to me while Billy's eating Shema. I mean, that's the way that it works. Teaching's different. Preaching is a whole lot different than teaching. You can take an outline and go teach and get by, but preaching, no. No. Because the Lord changes things. Because people are changing. So we got to go with the flow. You don't know what you're going to say. But one thing's for sure, they will hear the gospel. You can take that to the bank. Because that enables people to be saved, and that keeps people saved. You know, it's a better teaching what amens I'm getting today. I guess you're wanting turkey or something. I don't know. Faith continues to come by hearing and hearing. And hearing and hearing. The Word of God. Keep in mind, when Paul wrote this, they didn't have the New Testament. Amen. A few little letters floating around, but it wasn't compiled. They had the Old Testament, Isaiah, Deuteronomy, and those books. And so now we can go back to the Old Testament and find out what the Word of God said. It all stems on the gospel. Genesis 3:15, all the way through the last chapter of the book of Revelation, is all one subject, but hundreds of different topics. Amen. There is one thing. I don't think this is my viewpoint. You can do what you want. When the devil says something in the Bible, that doesn't build my faith. When ungodly people say something, it's recorded, that doesn't build my faith. But it was given there for examples, see, so that we could discern right and wrong and we would know. The only thing that really builds my faith is words from God. Amen. I like that song, Red Letters, by David Crowder, thank you. Red Letters. I'm thinking, how can this guy think this song up? I mean, I know what he's saying. He read all the red letters in the New Testament. You want to get faith? Just go through a King James Bible that's got red letters and read all those red letters, and I'll guarantee you'll come out with faith. Amen. Because it's Christ talking verbatim. Praise God. Hallelujah. There are other things that build my faith, but primarily it's the gospel. And I know you're the same. Now let's quickly go to Luke 17 and verse 5 this morning. You'll have to overlook some of my abrasiveness today. I didn't get any sleep last night, and I'm thinking about Africa and having to fight a bunch of demons. I hope it didn't turn out that way, but I got a feeling that, you know, they always pop their ugly heads up. But I like what the Mexicans do. If the demons don't get cast out, they cast them and the demons out. Could you imagine that, taking people and throwing them down the stairs? Somebody's always videoing, put it on Facebook, you know. Could you imagine that? Don't say it'll never happen. We don't know. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Okay? So, the Lord's blessing, it won't come to that in this country, but I'm concerned. I really am. Luke 17:5. Now, we pray this quite a bit, don't we? The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. You know, that seems like a good request, does it not? But the next verse says, and I laugh at this every time, the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed. I just think that's funny. If you had faith. that didn't even have mustard seed. That's the point. We read it wrong. Oh, if you have faith. No, if you had faith. Unless you want to change the scripture and put have in there. What's the difference? Whether you had faith or have faith, they didn't have it. But if you had faith of a grain of mustard seed, that's a heavy topic. You might say, you might say something to that sycamine tree. Got any sycamore trees in your way? Got any logs in your eye? We can see the logs in everybody else's eye. No, we see splinters. If you have faith, you will say to that tree. Now here we are talking to a tree. Not logical, is it? Or is it? Well, if you say that mountain, be that removed, cast in sin, doubt not, blah, 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 so forth and so on. Here we are talking to a mountain. Jesus talked to a fig tree and cursed it because it didn't have any figs on it. Well, there's a lot of detail there. When's the last time you took out your billfold? Are we crazy or not? And spoke money into it. Well, I don't believe it. All right, a little faith. Some of you are, got some Indian blood, a little faith. Folks, we have not because they ask not. See, we limit God. You don't think God can multiply money? Dear Lord, he's done it twice here in this church. Twice. Eyewitnesses. And we still don't believe God will do it. Well, I believe God will do it. Praise God. But it's going to take one thing to see it happen. It's going to take faith. It's going to take more than that. What are you talking about? Well, I'll get to it, and then we're going to see if we've got any faith today. All right? I know we have mustard seed, right? Anyone does not have a mustard seed, stand up. Good. We've settled that now. Okay. He said, if you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed, and you might say that sycamore tree, I call it sycamore, be thou plucked up by the root and planted to the sea, and it should obey you. Amen. What we need this morning is the supernatural. Yes. Everybody say supernatural. Supernatural. You see, when I was a child, I had it rough when I was a kid. But I believed in the supernatural. It wasn't the supernatural of God. It was like evil stuff, like this car driving itself, running over people, stuff like that. You know. I had it rough when I was a kid. One time that my parents took me to the beach, and I got lost from them. And I went to the lifeguard. I said, sir, I said, I've lost my parents. Could you help me find them? He said, I don't know, kid. They can hide really good. I mean, I had it rough when I was a kid. You don't appreciate humor at all, do you? Where did I get to? Let's see. We need supernatural stuff. We need supernatural things happening in our lives all the time. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11. And verse, let's start with verse 33. It's the strangest thing because when we receive things from God, most of the time there's no feeling, no emotion, no nothing. But we receive it by faith plus nothing. It's easy to rejoice when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you can feel the power. But what if he doesn't? Can you still receive? See, the Lord is pleased with faith plus nothing. And if we have faith, the other stuff will come. The feelings will come. The anointing will come. We'll feel the tangible presence of God. We'll experience the supernatural. But it all starts out with faith because we love God. He loves us. The great faith book in verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fly the enemies of the aliens. I believe in aliens, absolutely. Women received the dead, raised to life again. Boy, we like that, don't we? Man, that'd be great, wouldn't it? What's what happened? And others were tortured. Uh-oh. I've often wondered why God would allow a church that has this type of revelation, the people to be thrown in the lion's den and persecuted and killed. I've often wondered that. Why would God allow Jerusalem to kill the prophets that Christ sent to him? I don't know. We can't say I didn't have any faith. Verse 35, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Now we've got a key. They didn't want to be delivered. That they might obtain a better resurrection. There's the answer. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. We're talking about people that knew God here. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Could you imagine sawing somebody in half with a sword? The modern day church say, oh, they didn't have any faith. They don't know what they're talking about. Someone said, well, we prayed for sister so-and-so and she didn't get healed. Well, she was believing God, wasn't she? Here's the choice. When it comes down to the rubber meets the road, everybody's going to die. Except those who make the rapture. So we've got a choice. We can go through that test, believe in God, or we can face that test and not believe God. Which one do you want? Seems like to me, faith says we better believe God no matter what. Trust God, you never know. You see, we've been infected by hyperfaith. God's the one that chooses. But we can certainly make sincere requests and He will hear and He will do what's right no matter what we think or don't think. Amen. Okay, well, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin and deer skins and being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, I should say. The world was not worthy of them. Dear Lord, we're so far away. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. We live in a house with air conditioning and we gripe about it. Spoiled brats. Needing to go over to Africa where there's no electricity, nothing but a dirt floor and a grass hut. The only reason we're blessed in this country is because of the gospel. Because the church has sent missionaries abroad. That's the reason. And if we stop it, it dries up. There are people that's been blessed in this church because you got hooked up to a vision and believed the word of God. I've noticed that about people. 30 years I've seen it time and time again. You come in squalling, bawling, give your life to the Lord. He begins to clean you up. And through a process of time and faith, begins to bless you financially, bless you every way known. And suddenly, you stray. You know what's going to happen next? All the blessings over a period of a year or two will dwindle away. And you'll be back squalling and bawling again. Just like Israel. I suggest if we got sense, God give a goose. We don't do that. Like Mom used to say, son, you need to realize what side your bread's buttered on. I knew what she meant. All these 39 have, having obtained a good report through faith. Amen. Amen. They died in faith. They were tortured in faith. But God was pleased. I've almost come to the conclusion that the flesh doesn't matter too much. Look at the Old Testament. Go ahead and kill them all. It's the soul is what really matters. This flesh is like a piece of grass. The sun comes up, it withers, and it falls away. We're here today and gone tomorrow. It's the spirit part that's what really matters. But they obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Then verse 40. God having provided something better thing for us. God has provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. In other words, the Old Testament saints will not be complete without the church. So now God's got something better for us. Amen. There's a lot of things I could go to, but I want to quit with this one last thing, and there's a multitude of things that's better than what they had in the Old Testament. But in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, because we've been talking about faith a little bit, which is part of the gospel, hints to the cross. I think on Wednesday night there were those speaking about, teaching about the gift, spiritual gifts. I guess Billy was. Do we accept the fact that we need faith to please God? Amen. Faith continues to come when the Word of God is presented to you. All right? But sometimes, in the ministry, that's not enough. Sometimes we need a little extra boost. We need the extra added plus. Some of you are never going to get it because you're not hungry for it. Holy Spirit is the one that creates the hunger in our souls to start with. Because He's got something better for us. And I believe one aspect to this is the gift of faith. Everybody say the gift of faith. Look at verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, we're talking about, everybody, the gift of faith. Yes. Do we understand that? To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, here comes a question that I'm going to leave with you, and we're going to see if we can accept what I'm going to say. If we back up to verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit. Okay. One is given by the Spirit. So we could say it this way. One is given the gift of faith by the Spirit. The Spirit is the one that gives the gift of faith. Are you getting hold of this now? It isn't the Father or the Son. To one is given the gift of faith by the Spirit. For to one is given by the Spirit the gift of faith. Same thing. So what I am proposing this morning is that the Holy Spirit Himself is the one that gives us the gift of faith that pleases God. Amen. Now, here's the question. Is it scriptural for us to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the gift of faith? In view of the fact that He is the one that gives it. Heavenly Father, please give me the gift of faith in Jesus' name. I'm not saying that's wrong because we're supposed to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. We understand that. But sometimes we can talk to Jesus. He's the mediator. And still be in prayer. But have we ever considered the probability that we need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the gift of faith? See, it just upsets people's apple carts here. If the Spirit gives the gift, then is it wrong to ask the Spirit to grant the request? That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm saying. Now we have a test. How many would be bold enough to do that? Well, no, it's a blasphemy. No, the Holy Spirit is God. Don't get hung up on words. That word God is so generic, we don't know who you're talking about. I'm speaking specifically about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. He's the one that gives us the gift of faith that pleases God, especially in the ministry. If we don't have it, we will not succeed in the ministry, period. Because all of the gifts are hinged on that and love. And all of you, you have a ministry called reconciliation. Don't think you're not some kind of a preacher, because you are. You can witness, you can lead people to Christ. But sometimes when you're up against a demon and a roadblock here, you need the gift of faith to break through. It's above and beyond the normal realm of faith.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis, pastor and overseer of Zion Word Ministries International. If you're looking for a way to get plugged into what we are doing, you can visit our website at zwmi.com or jump over to our Facebook page at Zion Word Ministries International. You can also subscribe to our podcast in other ways, such as iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. Thank you for being here, and remember to keep the faith and stay in grace.